Thank you for listening to George Washington. Today I spoke to Tom K. Let's just get it started because, first of all, I'll just tell you now, we were wrong. Tiff Macklem did end up cutting rates. Good for him. Hope he's so proud of himself. And really, we talked about the economy, economic topics, but what will really hold the test of time is the discussion of the song with Snow Day and Drake, and how the song, it's the song that everyone outside of Toronto hates. So let's just get it started. Thank you. And remember to do stuff like subscribe or whatever they tell you to say in YouTube school. Bye. Pretty good. Tom K. of EXP
Yes, sir.
Realty. I'm doing amazing. How are you doing? I shouldn't.
Pretty good.
I say amazing. I'm doing okay. I would say as well, pretty good.
But you got to fake until you make it, man. You got to just keep saying it's amazing until you're actually amazing. Right?
Exactly. You know what's up. Okay.
All about that manifestation.
That's right. I got a wall with... Yeah, manifesting. Man, always, right. Always be manifesting.
ABM.
ABM. All right. Let's just get started. So first
Sounds
off,
good to me.
Let's just start with this Bank of Canada rate thing. You know, by the time this this pod comes out, it will probably have already been set. No, I know for sure it will be set, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's happening tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. So...
that's fine.
Let's
you
just
can listen back and see if I'm right or if
exactly,
I'm wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. So let's start with, let's just do a quick prediction of what you think with this next one.
It's really hard to say. Honestly, like, I feel that there may be some room for them to come down just because inflation's going down. And I mean, we see it as consumers at the pumps now. You know, gas is kind of settled after this new carbon tax, and things are kind of pulling back on that end.
Yeah.
So potentially room for a rate cut. You know, inflation numbers were down month over month, I believe, March through to April. So it could go down. And, you know, I'm one of those people, I don't like to make bold predictions. So I'm just going to say it now. So I cover all my bases. It could go down or it could go up. No, it won't go up, but it could go down or it might stay the same.
Yeah.
It'd be really funny if it goes up.
Yeah, that's right.
After I just
like,
said that.
Take that, MFers. Yeah.
Just yeah, like, take that, Tom. You don't listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
You know, they're pre-listening to the podcast
right.
already.
Yeah.
He's listening to it on the CSIS tapped phone lines, and he's like, all right, you know what?
Yeah.
Tom said it's definitely not going to go up, but it might go down or sideways.
Yeah.
Let's put it up just to screw Tom, right?
Exactly.
Such a silly thing.
I do think that it will likely be a rate hold. I don't envision a raise at all. Just because, as you said, you're right, inflation seems to be cooling down a bit. Although, like, 2.9 is still basically 3. Like, it's, and if you look at the numbers, the underlying numbers, a lot of this stuff, it's like men's apparel went down by, like, 30%. So, like there
oh,
is...
Oh, boy,
some,
the economy is saved, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you got to... take it a little with a grain of salt. Also, as well, it's much harder to raise rates than to cut them. So, I mean, I think the Bank of Canada, I do believe that the Bank of Canada does have independence from the government. So there is a general separation, although they do watch what each side does. So, I think that, yeah, it is more difficult for them to raise rates again than to cut them. So they'll probably just hold on to it because they'll try to hold the rate until they'll have to lower the rate. Because eventually they are going to have to lower the rate, because I think that more people are realizing that this economy is not doing as well as people or like the mainstream media, they think that they have been letting people think. Like, people are now getting to understand the idea of per capita GDP, where we're letting all these people in and that's adding to the GDP, but each person is like, it's going down to like,
yeah, there's more people, so there's more GDP needed, of course.
Exactly, right. So let's just think about the like general trend. What do you think the Bank of Canada trend is looking like going ahead past this rate cut?
I feel like they're probably going to cut at some point just to give some relief and some hopium to the market, or whatever you want to call it, because I feel like it's bound to happen at some point. You know, I'm a realtor, so in my circle, all I see is people preaching rate cut this, rate cuts are coming, yeah. Buy before the rate cuts, because, you know, a lot of people in my industry, as we said on the last podcast, they have commission breath. So the more they get people to think that rate cuts are coming, the more business they think they can do because of that. So, like, there is some truth that, you know, business obviously booms for us as realtors when rates do go down. But I think your guess of them holding off for the time being is a pretty good guess. I feel like maybe there's another Bank of Canada announcement in July. So I feel like maybe they'll hold off here and just wait till July if they were going to do like a 25 basis point cut or whatever.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense to me. It is really funny seeing real estate, Twitter/X and like TikTok, like always with the rate cuts. They always pushing those rate cuts. But I was watching another real estate podcast recently, and they were saying that the market can be very volatile for real estate, especially in Toronto and Vancouver, especially Toronto because Toronto just has, I don't know if I should use the word savvy, but everyone is very aware of real estate and wanting to time the market, whereas other places, more like Calgary, Edmonton, like other smaller cities, they're more just in a cycle of, I need a place to live. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. So you say that Toronto investors are savvy, but one of the biggest mistakes so many people, especially the mom and pop investors in the like greater Toronto area, and I guess even Ontario market as a whole, make is a lot of these quote unquote investors, they're purchasing properties not necessarily for cash flow, but for future appreciation.
Right.
And, you know, like a lot of the real estate knowledge I learned growing up about, you know, investments and investing into real estate is you want assets that produce cash flow beyond just the appreciation. Like, appreciation is great, but if that's all you're banking on, think about the investors that bought 2 years ago and like the assets have depreciated.
Right.
Interest rates have gone up. Their out-of-pocket cost to actually, you know, have a tenant in their property has gone up. So they're like running negative cash flow, and it's not just one or two people. Like, a good majority of the investors that bought recently in the greater Toronto area are negative cash flow. So I don't think they're as savvy as you make them out to be personally.
That's fair enough. Absolutely fair.
Right? Like, you can't just be investing for future appreciation, right?
Well, I guess I shouldn't call it savvy. I think that is the wrong term. I think it's more just like that Torontonians have their in the Toronto market is more like it's they just don't want to miss out. Like it's a FOMO thing, right? That's what I'm looking for. Yeah, it's a FOMO thing.
Yeah, there's a ton of FOMO. That's basically all real estate has been in Canada for the last few years. Like we saw it during COVID. I mean, there's a reason why prices peaked out in February of 2022. And like what really caused that quote unquote, like little mini bubble that we had, you know, because there's properties I'm seeing now that are down anywhere from $300,000 to $400,000, $500,000 if you timed the market horribly wrong and bought at the very, very peak.
Yeah.
So, you know, what drove that? It was nothing but FOMO, greed, speculation, and then the madness of people in crowds.
Yeah, exactly. We've got these real estate prices right now, housing prices, and I'm sure you heard this, but the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, he had an interview on Globe and Mail City Space podcast, and he said this, which made a lot of headlines in Canada. Housing needs to retain its value, .. It's a huge part of people's potential for retirement and future nest egg. So, but...
And I think that was a big Freudian slip. I don't think he even meant to say that.
Yeah.
Because you can't make housing affordable and then have housing retain its values. This guy's literally contradicting himself on with that point, he's contradicting himself, right? Because Trudeau, you know, their government's been preaching a lot in the last couple of years of, oh, we have these plans to make housing more affordable,
right?
Yada, 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 all that stuff. And if houses need to retain their value, how does your government expect to make it affordable as well at the same time? You can't have it both ways.
Yeah, but... If the problem is that if the Liberal government hopes to win another mandate, they're going to have it both ways, which is kind of crazy because
you got to appeal to the younger crowd as well as the boomers. So I think that's what they're doing right there. But I think that like him saying that was a bit of a Freudian slip. Like, yeah. I don't think he really meant to say it. And, you know, I'm sure that's probably causing a lot of backlash now for him with his handlers and all his PR people and all that.
Well, let's like just parse this. Housing needs to retain its value. I mean, really, for him, housing does need to retain its value. I guess you could like that's a very that's a you could say that's a weasel word because like. Value in what way? I'm sure he could backtrack from that later, but yeah, for him to succeed, he does need it to retain its value because in Canada, like, we have a system right now where people are not, like, our stock market is, like, seriously lags other nations. People don't really...
Yeah, I only invest in U.S. stocks. I very rarely touch Canadian ones personally because of that.
Right, or like a mining ETF. Like, that's what our companies are, like, we're very good at mining and banks and getting dividends from stocks, but there's no real, like, you're not going to see growth, and any good Canadian company ends up just putting out an IPO in the States anyways, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yes, but that being, that's to say that people don't really invest in their retirement in that way. Like, they have RRSPs, but like then they put that into REITs, which then just buy developments and it just feeds the real estate industry again. It's kind of going off like a little tangent, but I think that like people like real estate people, like individuals get such a bad rap when a lot of it is more of like institutional real estate, which affects the market way more than actual individual people who are just trying to make a living for themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, like landlords get a lot of hate, but what a lot of people like in the anti-landlord community or the people that hate on landlords don't understand is a lot of them aren't really these big mega corporations or, you know, these people that you're now talking about, right? Yeah. So like, you know, it's usually like a grandma, somebody's grandma, somebody's aunt that had a little extra money and was like, but let me buy another house. Let me rent it out.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, at the end of the day, landlords do provide a service. They put a place for people to live. And, you know, the amount of shit some of them get to by doing this kind of thing in Ontario.
Yeah.
Right. Like you get a tenant that doesn't pay rent. Now you're out of pocket paying a mortgage for about a year or potentially more while waiting for the landlord tenant board. So
yeah, it's crazy.
It's interesting in that regard, but you're right. Like a lot of the greed and that aspect of it obviously comes from the big corporations because, well, they all have shareholders that they're held accountable to and boards and all this. And, you know, they gotta turn a profit. So that's kind of what it is. And, you know, I think we see a little bit of that backlash now in the States where all these people are calling out, like, BlackRock and Blackstone for purchasing up a lot of land and a lot of these houses, like, sight unseen, just cash buyers, just buying everything they can.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you have billions of dollars, you're definitely going to be the one that's running up prices.
Yeah, exactly.
But the other thing I think people forget, too, on the flip side of it, because these type of institutional investors and corporations, because they're so accountable to their shareholders and to the like financial aspect of it, should prices start going down, they're going to be the first one to be dumping bags at a loss because, you know, they don't like there's the difference between like a mom and pop investor. A mom and pop investor sees maybe like $100,000 loss of value on paper.
Yeah, exactly.
They're now looking at that as like, oh, well, I'll just hold on till the market recovers or whatever. There's like emotions involved. They don't want to let go. You know, they have that, I forget the phrase I'm looking for, but like that sunk cost.
Yeah, sunk cost fallacy,
Fallacy, exactly, where they're like, you know, I'm already in for this much and I can't lose more on this or whatever, where the big corporations, because they're so well-funded, it's just, you know, okay, so we lost $100,000 on this property. Sell it, it's a write-off against our taxes kind of thing.
Yeah. So, yeah. So then the other half of that statement, which is where young or like the other half of playing both sides is that in order for younger people to be able to buy a home, the prices do have to go lower. So if they can't actually go lower, then the obvious other option would just to have inflation one way or another, or to just subsidize or like give, create new schemes for younger generations to take on more debt to pay for these inflated prices. So how do you think that's going to work out?
That's a good question. I have no idea. I mean, again, as you said, you know, there's just got to be that aspect of giving them more opportunities to go more deeper into debt, right? Because, like, in ways it could potentially play out, I mean, would be things like maybe increasing mortgage amounts people can take because housing in Canada is so expensive.
Yeah.
And generally speaking, from my understanding of mortgages, most people, when they apply for a mortgage, their purchasing power is generally, as a rule of thumb, about 4 to 5 times their annual income, right? So like if you're pulling $100,000, your mortgage amount that you can actually get on paper is $400,000 to $500,000, which we all know in the city of Toronto or it's the greater Toronto area.
Yeah.
That barely gets you a condo, let alone a home. Yeah. So I think that could be one way that they could potentially deal with that situation. And I think, as you said, it's just going to be more of these schemes to get them deeper into debt and being like wage slaves for the rest of their life, where they have to just work, pay the bills and all that.
So like last question on this topic, What do you think that the like future, like family, husband, wife with 2.5 children, like where are they going to live if they have like it, like with the caveat that they like have to live, like they're they have to live in this like the central area, like the GTA for example.
I think we're just going to see more and more of what we see now, where people are scurrying to the outskirts of the GTA, where things are still cheaper than, you know, central GTA, and there's just going to be a lot more commuting.
Yeah.
So, you know, going to places like Hamilton, to Clarington, Bowmanville, like whatever, right? Like they're just going to go to the far outskirts where they can actually afford things, or potentially, you know, that being said, again, we're talking about affordability. Even if you want to move to the outskirts of like where I'm at, the Durham region, like Clarington, most yeah. houses there are still going, you're spending at least like on a very basic and probably old outdated home, at least $600,000 into the mid sixes. And then, you know, once you start getting into the sevens and eights, we start talking about a more higher quality property, but that's probably where they're going to go, is just to the outskirts.
So then
if they have to,
yeah,
if they have to maintain, you know, residency close to Toronto for work purposes or whatever.
Right. But then it makes you wonder with all these like schemes that you're seeing with that they're talking about with getting houses online and like using different forms of housing. Like it used to be that when someone moved out to the suburbs, they're doing it so that they could get a detached home, the nice, mm-hmm. nice, backyard, and like it was like the delta between living downtown and living in a nice house in the suburbs was great enough to like yep. have to deal with the shitty commute. But then if we're like with all these like programs, are we gonna see like a time where you're commuting, and I doubt that commuting's gonna get any better. Like it seems like the best we could do at this point for the next like 20 years is just keep the status quo, or mm-hmm. and on top of that you're commuting, but then you're also living in like a smaller house, like instead of that detached, you're like semi-detached, you're like in a townhouse, you're in like those three and like those multiplex ones.
Yeah, I was just gonna say you're lucky if you even get the town or the semi, because nowadays, and especially like in, you know, closer to Toronto outskirts cities like Pickering or Markham, you know, most first-time homebuyers are really falling in that category of, as you said, like the multiplex kind of thing. Well, not necessarily a multiplex, but like a what we call a stacked townhouse or a right. condo townhouse, where, you know, you have multiple, like you're basically having multiple quote-unquote homes within a complex, and it's not quite an apartment, but not quite a condo or anything either. It's just more so like, you know, they call them stacked townhouses, condo townhouses, whatever you want to refer to it to. But, you know, you might have not only now people living beside your walls, like, you know, traditional townhome,
yeah.
you have a neighbor on each side. So you have one neighbor where you're sharing walls and then another neighbor where you're sharing walls. But now we have, you know, where you're not only sharing walls, like on both sides, you're also sharing walls on the back end, so that means no backyard, yep. and then potentially no top floor, because you might have another home above yours as well. And while we're on the topic, I'm just going to divulge, but I'll just yeah. tell you and your audience, one of the silliest things I've seen in a long time when it comes to stacked townhomes. There was one, I believe, at like Keele and 401 or somewhere in North York area.
Yeah.
That the guy was basically marketing a fourth floor, like, you know, the top floor of a stacked condo town development.
Right.
This fucking realtor, this fucking realtor had the balls to call it a penthouse. Sir, this is not a penthouse. This is a condo townhome. This is not a penthouse. There's no, like, you know, there's no penthouse luxury there.
That's right.
You're You're on the top floor of a stacked condo town development. Like, how is that a penthouse? And again, I apologize to your audience for the vulgar language, but
the balls,
these kind of things, they do they do grind my gears, and I thought that was quite ridiculous to see that.
That's pretty incredible, like,
Yeah, you know, like, the balls of this guy to do something so silly.
Like, it's one thing to say that, like, Scarborough is the North Beaches, but, like, that's a little bit beyond the pale.
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's crazy.
Although calling Scarborough North Beaches is also pretty wild. That's some next level stuff. Like, it's all in marketing, and some of the marketing tactics that people in my industry use is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Actually, while we're talking about ridiculous marketing tactics, let me tell you a story about something I saw this week. So there's a realtor in the Greater Toronto Area. I'm not going to mention any names here because I'm not, you know, trying to get into no defamation or anything like this. But here's how she's promoting herself on Instagram. And now tell me, Daniel, if this is a realtor you would want to work with or if you think this is totally unprofessional.
Okay.
Buy a house from me and I'll give you a free 1-year subscription to my OnlyFans.
What? Wait, what?
What? Yeah, right?
Wait, whoa, what?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and it gets better, too. I scroll down the page. I'm pretty sure I found another post where she had mentioned something like, buy a house from me and you'll spend a night with me. So, like, I think we're getting into the realm of, like, legalized prostitution almost. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
Okay.
So that was my week. I learned that this week. I saw that on, it was kind of going, like, not viral, but within my community of, like, some of the agents that I know that are, like, real ones, and they share the bullshit about our industry. They were kind of sharing it, and I just, again, I thought that was quite ridiculous, to be honest, man.
It sounds like someone's got a car payment that they need to cover.
Sounds like it. Something. Some kind of payment, or just, I don't know. I don't know exactly what the whole background is there, but I just found that to be, like, ultimately ridiculous.
I gotta know, like, it's just like, I'm sorry, it's like the lizard brain in me. Like, what would you rate her on a scale of 1 to 10?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's a good question. Right. Probably, like, maybe like a 7 or 8.
Okay.
There was one pretty promiscuous picture on that Instagram page that, like, not bad. Like, got a little bit of a booty, not terrible.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. To me, if you're an OnlyFans girl, you're going down to an automatic, like, 1 to 3 rating.
Yeah.
Because, like, I would never in a million years want to be dating an OnlyFans girl, right? Unless she's, like, one of the top 1% of OnlyFans.
Right.
Okay, baby, you buy me a GT3 RS, like a 911 GT3 RS. Okay, you can go do your OnlyFans.
Exactly.
So be it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the average, like, it's funny because while we're on this whole topic of OnlyFans, you know, like, it just reminds me of a quote that I always find hilarious in regards to this topic because, you know, you see, it's just like any other industry, the top 10 or 20% of people are making all the money.
Right.
Right. It's just that, like, law of how things distribute, or I don't know the exact, like, law or whatever.
Yeah, it's, I think it's called the Pareto Principle.
Pareto Principle. There you go. Bingo. You got it, man. Yeah. You got it. That's why I need you here.
Exactly. Make a good team.
Talking about the Pareto Principle.
Yeah.
That definitely relates to that line of work as well.
Right.
And, you know, it's very funny because a lot of these women, and it's not even, like, I wouldn't even say it's funny. I find it almost more sad. Like, I find it kind of funny. I find it kind of sad. Yeah. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I ever had. Yeah. To quote Mad World by Gary Jules, or Tears for Fears, depending how old you are.
Yeah.
You know, that, like, that, it's funny, but it's also sad. But basically, you know, a lot of them will get into this. They'll put all their stuff out online and be broadcast to the world, and they might make $200 a month.
It's insane.
And, you know, and what a lot of them are learning now they're learning what it's like to be a SoundCloud rapper in 2012.
Right, yeah. But like the stakes are much higher.
Yes, absolutely.
It's crazy. And it's funny because exactly. It's sad as well because the girls who are in the top like 5%, they are getting referrals. Like it's it's like Uber or something. But it's like OnlyFans, which is insane.
So yeah, I wonder I don't know enough about that platform if they have some sort of multi-level marketing scheme to it where it's like, hey, use my referral link, sign up, and then, you know, if somebody signs up under you, you're getting like a kickback of whatever they make on OnlyFans too. I wonder if there's something like
I think there is, which is crazy. It incentivizes the top people to make it look like it's the best. It's like so much fun. And it's like, it's messed up because like even the top 1-2%, like you hear stories every day about how they hate it so much and it's like mentally draining and it's messing up their life. Like it's crazy.
Oh yeah. Well, that kind of industry definitely leads to a lot of trauma and chaos in some of these ladies' lives, unfortunately, right? Like, you know, we all hear about the stories of like these porn actresses that are now going through I don't know if we can use this word, if it's going to censor you, but the Sudokuing themselves.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Right, and then like they, you know, a lot of them suffer with depression and this and that because that industry will just, one, it beats up your body, but more importantly, it beats up your mental state. So like, you know, man, it's, again, like, you know, like we can laugh and we can make jokes and say, oh, you know, some of them now know what it's like to be a SoundCloud rapper, but it's also very sad. And I feel for some of these girls because they're being misguided. And just the fact that I've learned about this whole aspect of it where, you know, they're running it like a pyramid scheme with the multi-level marketing in there. Yeah. Like, that's crazy. So there's a lot of incentive for, you know, these top percent people to get them in there. And that's just, it's very, very sad.
Yeah. It's crazy. But the other thing though, about that promotion is that it's like, I would never, this sounds kind of rude, but like, I don't think I would ever really trust, like, for example, a general practitioner who had clearly gotten like, plastic surgery, just because it's like, if a doctor is getting surgery that they don't need, when they know that every time you do that, you put yourself at like risk of death, like unnecessary risk of death. Like that's not a person. Like it's, I'm sorry, but that doesn't seem like a very serious person. It's like, I don't want the leading thing for my like lawyer or an accountant that, hey, if you file your taxes with me, then you can get my OnlyFans. That's like kind of like,
yeah, so, right, exactly. So I would never want to work with that realtor either, personally.
Yeah, it's like, that's what you're leading with, that means that like you don't have much else to offer here.
Yeah, yep. Although I thought about a funny like marketing gimmick for myself where, again, I don't know enough about this platform, but, you know, seeing this, I was thinking to kind of turn it into satire.
Yeah.
And sign up for that platform myself. Right. And rather than upload, you know, nudes or whatever, just upload behind the scenes content or little like things that don't make it to social media.
Right.
And, you know, make the joke and be like, oh, by the way, guys, you know, like in one of my videos, just by the way, guys, buy a house for me and I'll give you a year subscription to my OnlyFans. But I can't do that promotion if I don't have an account on that website. But I don't know if like that's kind of like Patreon tier, right? Like I think Patreon would be a much better platform for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But again, you know, just to kind of use the buzzword of OnlyFans would be quite hilarious in the marketing aspect. Yeah, like, I would literally only do that as a joke. Like, yeah, you know, I don't think anybody would go in there and be like, oh, yeah, this is serious. Although I'm sure I have one or two degenerates on my on my followers that might sign up there and then be, like, very disappointed. But yeah, probably just one or two of them.
Hey, you never know.
Yeah, you never really do.
Could be the beginning of a great, great friendship there.
Yeah, exactly.
You and the degenerates. Okay, so the third thing, the third topic, let's get to the third topic. Why not? Let's do it. Yeah, so we're seeing the dollar, I mean, the Canadian dollar, I should clarify. Canadian dollar, I think right now, let me just check right now, should be around like 64. Yeah, should be at 64 or something versus the U.S. dollar, USD.
I'm seeing points, one Canadian dollar equals 73 cents U.S. Ooh,
that's pretty good.
That's what I'm
seeing. Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's okay. It's not great.
Yeah. So, like, last
especially
time
we... considering we were on par with them back in, like, the early 2010s.
Yeah, those were the glory days.
Those were the glory days, absolutely.
So,
yeah, like, I'm looking at a historical chart, and October 28th, 2011, it was 101, and then up till, like, 2013, it was hovering right around a dollar, like, 97, and then, it's funny, like, pretty much as soon as Trudeau got into office right around 2015 there, like, we just went in a death spiral.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Although it could be worse. I mean, you know, again, looking historically, it was at 63 in 2001. Yeah. So could be worse, could be better.
This is true. But I mean,
and at the end of,
yeah, go ahead.
At the end of the day, we're not, you know, Argentina. I'm looking them up right now, but I'm pretty sure they went through some serious devaluation of their currency.
Yeah.
Like, so to put it in perspective, you know, we think Canada going from a buck, like being on par to 73 cents or whatever it is now, sucks. But if you look at it, in 2018, August 3rd, 2018, one U.S. dollar would get you 27.25 Argentine pesos.
Nice.
How many Argentine pesos do you think $1 gets you today in 2024?
So what was it back then?
Like about 25, 27.
Okay, so I will say, I'll do a 100%, so 50.
Wrong, higher.
Okay, I'll do 200%. That's, you know what, I'll do 100.
Way off still, even then. It's gone into, like, hyperinflation territory for them. Like, I feel for the Argentina people because this is brutal. Now, from 2018, at it being about, you know, 27 or 25, whatever it was, kind of varied throughout that year, went on an upward trajectory by, let's see, That 100 number you threw out,
right?
That was 2022, January. It was 104.
Yeah.
And today we're sitting at 897 Argentine pesos for one U.S. dollar.
Nice.
So it's gone up a lot.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's discuss this. We talked about last time where, like, Canadian productivity has just famously always been below U.S. productivity, and now it's getting bad enough that it's making the mainstream media, like, people are starting to talk about, Bank of Canada talked about it, that where it's like a crisis at this point, that the productivity is poor. But, I mean, when you have low productivity, an easy way to work from that is that you have a lower dollar, so it's cheaper for other other countries to buy your stuff. So it makes up mm-hmm. for the lower productivity. The other thing I should add, just because I wanted to like put a like make this like note this, is that you see the current exchange rate. It just should also be noted that just because we have seen like this is a, like a normal range for US to Canadian dollar, but you're seeing that Canadian dollar is not really keeping up, like especially Mexican peso. Peso has been pretty strong. Like other currencies are staying pretty stable or stronger instead of like Canadian dollar is it's kind of alarming a bit.
Yeah, like Mexico in I had Jamie pull it up, by the way. You're Joe Rogan now. Yeah. But Jamie pulled up the chart for me, and April 3rd, 2020 is kind of around the time where the exchange rate for like US versus Mexican peso peaked.
Right.
And back then you could get 24 almost 25 pesos for one US dollar. Today that's gone down to 17.77. Yes. So yeah, the Mexican currency has been very, very strong.
Yeah. Which is like it just shows that we are Mexico is a legitimate player in this like NAFTA, this North American system now. Like I think that a lot of like Canadians, because of real estate prices, they are moving to Mexico. Mexico is like completely underrated because we hear about all this violence, people
cartel, this, that. Right,
exactly, that it's so dangerous. But like there are parts of Mexico that are completely like Mexico City is equivalent to any city in North America. Like some parts are nicer, and like people might actually like the more like traditional style, although they do have like skyscrapers there as well. Also, yeah, they have a nice mix of like productivity as well as like the buying power is good there, especially if you're working like remotely. And then also you hear about all these like illegal immigrants or like people trying to migrate into the United States, and that makes it sound like it's so terrible. But really, I think like a portion of people know this by now, but like it's not actually Mexican people.
No, a good majority of the people trying to emigrate, like what they do is they come from the poorer places of Central and South America, Venezuela, and they'll do the big trek across all the like land and come to the U.S. through Mexico.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I highly doubt that a lot of like Mexican people are actually in that mix. It's more so the people in places where things are much rougher, like, a Venezuela, for instance. Like things there are very, very tough for those people.
And it's kind of crazy. Like at this point, since it's so well known that like, especially with a Democrat, whatever you feel about it, but because of a Democratic president, people from across the globe think that it's easier to get in to America. So you're seeing people from like Africa. Like, how did you get from Africa to cross the Mexican US border and say that you're a refugee? Like, that's insane.
Yeah, I've watched a couple of videos on YouTube too, and like there's even even to go crazier than Africa, there is Chinese nationals trying to immigrate across the border. Like,
exactly.
You're right. How did you get all the way to Mexico undetected or unnoticed or whatever and, try to get across now?
It's crazy. Anyways.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a little bit of a tangent. But, so, the question I have is, do you think it would be better to have, like, generally go into a phase where we have a lower dollar in order to compete in this local marketplace or like transnational marketplace of like the United States and Mexico so that we're more competitive? Or do you think it would be better to have a stronger dollar and just do the necessary, like take the pain? Like, I think the only other way that that our economy, the Canadian economy, could really like bounce back is like going to have to do the painful work of like kind of undoing a lot of the spending, because government spending, this is my opinion. I mean, it's based upon reality it's a strain of thought, but it is, I will say, it's my opinion that when you have government crowding out private investment, it makes your economy less competitive, and it makes you don't get any foreign capital. You're seeing that like foreign capital is actually leaving the country because in part, I won't say completely, but in part because the Canadian federal government is just putting their money into the system. So why would you want to compete with the Canadian government or with the federal government? Like, they're taking all of the supply.
Mm-hmm.
So, but like, which one do you think is, let me get back to like exactly what you're asking. Do you think it'd be better to have a lower dollar to be able to compete? Or do you think it would be better to like find an alternate way of improving productivity, getting GDP up, getting like things better for people?
So I'm just going to be very selfish in my answer. Mm-hmm. Like, this is just personal biases and everything like that. I would much rather have a stronger Canadian dollar because I buy way too much stuff from America to suffer on that end as, you know, a citizen. Like, okay, maybe it'll make things more competitive economically and all that. Sure, yes, it's great. But that being said, there's still going to be a lot of suffering happening in Canada, right? Because, you know, we don't produce as much as people think in this country. Like, what do we had this conversation, I believe, last time we were on the podcast, and our economy is hugely driven by real estate development.
Yeah.
And okay, so if we're going to be like more competitive on, you know, a lower dollar, well, that's just going to mean more U.S. investors and more foreign nationals are going to come and invest into our housing market and then drive the prices up even more, like to go into housing, right?
So that's a good point.
That point alone tells me that even beyond just my, you know, personal biases of, oh, I want to buy car parts and whatever other stuff from America, you know, I don't think it's necessarily the best solution.
Yeah, that's
to lower our dollar.
Right, and then, yeah, that is a very important thing. Yeah, go ahead.
And then it gets into a fine line too, right? Because, you know, you can devalue a currency so much, but at what point, you know, do people totally lose faith in that currency as well, right? Because, you know, we're at 73 cents now, but if the Canadian dollar versus U.S. is at 50 cents,
yeah,
people might start to look at that and be like, oh, maybe there's something actually wrong with Canada.
Yeah.
I think ultimately what we need to do, if we want to just keep everything on par, we need to do the old conspiracy theory that everyone used to talk about of the Amero currency and just have one currency for the CUM alliance, the Canada, United States, Mexico alliance or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think that's true. No, I don't think that. I think that's plausible. I don't really see a problem with that, honestly. Like, I think that, like, central bank, I mean, we're basically, like, the Central Bank of Canada already kind of admitted that they really are, like, it's more important what the U.S. bank does than anything that really happens in Canada. Like, they have to watch that. Like,
yeah. So. Well, if, you know, going back to the start of this conversation, if, the U.S. Federal Reserve or whoever controls their, yeah, I guess it would be the Federal Reserve, right? Yeah, they control the interest rates there. Yeah. Right? So if they were to start lowering, if Jay Powell was lowering the rates down, is he still the guy? I don't know.
He is the guy. Jay Powell is the guy.
He's still the guy. He's still Mr. Money Printer Goldberg.
That's right.
Okay.
Making it rain.
So, you know, if Jay Powell was to have already lowered their rates like a month ago, you'd be damn straight we'd be lowering our rates on this next Bank of Canada announcement, right? Like, we basically do follow them very heavily.
Right.
But they're just kind of like we're the younger, more regarded brother that just kind of follows along to what they do over there.
Wagwan, Delilah, what's it like in Toronto City? I'm 2,000 kilometers away. But girl, tonight, you look so bad. Oh, yes,
before
you
we
do.
Go, just like one more bonus question for you. Is there anything on your mind, anything that's getting your goat recently?
Yeah, there's a song that just came out yesterday it's been living rent-free in my mind. So I just want to give a shout-out to my boy Snow Day, who put out a track with Drake yesterday. I don't know if you heard it yet or not. Basically the like summertime anthem for Toronto mans right now, because it's just it's a total joke of a song.
Yeah,
but in all the satire and all the comedy that's in that thing, it's just funny. So what they did is they Snow Day's a genius. He's been promoting this track for months. Like, I believe he went on a Wave Room Canada's Got Talent thing they do on their YouTube,
right?
And then basically, you know, he did this like little cover song that started as a joke, a skit for Wave Room. And that skit kind of just spiraled out of control where everybody's like, yo, you got to release the song, man. You got to release the song. And he finally did it yesterday, and he has Drake on the track. So what they did is it's a Toronto man's, I don't know if your audience is familiar, if they're local, they'll understand the Toronto man slang.
Right.
But it's a Toronto man's version of Hey There Delilah by Plain White Tees.
Yeah.
The song starts, he's just like, how does it go? I know it, like, it, literally the song lives rent-free in my head, so I'll just kind of, I'll start singing it, let's see. Wagwan, if you don't want to cringe, don't listen, because I'm about to do a heavy Toronto man's accent, and I'm not the best at doing the accent, so it's going to be kind of cringe, but whatever, it's funny anyway. And basically the song starts out, he's like, Wagwan Delilah, what's it like in Toronto City? Girl, I'm 2,000 kilometers away, and you look so bad, oh yes you do.
Wagwan Delilah, what's it like in Toronto City? I'm 2,000 kilometers away, but girl, tonight you look so bad, oh yes you do.
Dundas Square don't shine as bright as you. So it just goes on like that, and then Drake's part of the song is really, really well done too. Like, it is just, it's good. Like, you know, you can tell he hopped on it just to kind of do something for the city.
Yeah.
And I guess support a young local up and coming artist / comedian. Cause I look at Snow Day, he's very funny. He's one of the funniest people I've met through, you know, social media stuff. Like, him and I are both kind of on the TikTok thing, and you know, we connected there. We've kind of been chatting for a while. So this guy he's very funny, and he created such a crazy, crazy song that's now spiraled from a joke / meme to getting one of the biggest artists in the world on the song, which is just, it's insane to me. And Snow Day, if you hear this, man, I'm proud of you, bro, because you just made it, man. Like, he made it off of a joke, and I love that, right?
That's so sick. That's awesome. I'm gonna listen to that. I've got it up here. I'm gonna listen to
it. Yeah, you have to listen. It's honestly, it's such a good song, and I would highly recommend even maybe putting in a little clip on the editing side.
Damn, you already beat me to it.
So your audience doesn't. Yeah, you remember, I went to radio school with you, brother. I know how it goes. Yeah. We were in there together. But yeah, like, I that song, is literally living rent-free in my head right now. So that's like my biggest thing in my mind today. And I actually just made a little like meme video about that song, because obviously, you know, sometimes as TikTokers, as much as I want to do my real estate content, sometimes on TikTok, you just got to drop in a meme here and there. That's, and like, right. I'm sitting at 71,000 views right now for something I posted this morning, which is basically just like, it's that meme where there's a guy sitting there and you kind of see his brain, and it's like, why are you so quiet? Yeah. What's on your mind? And then it's just like a clip of the song, and he has this one part of the song on the fourth verse where he just goes crazy and he just basically calls out all the banks in Canada.
Yeah.
And he's like, and oh, if you're trying to hit a lick on the TD, RBC, Scotiabank, RBC, CIBC, PC Financial, yeah, holler at me. And like the way he spits it in the track, it actually, like, it's hilarious, but it's also crazy because like it just comes so fast, and it's like Eminem tier of kind of like just spitting really quick.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not Eminem tier. It's kind of like almost sung a little bit too, but you know what I mean? Like it's that's definitely what's on my mind, and that's why I'm so quiet today. So yeah. Shout out to Snow Day. Snow Day killed it, man. And shout out to Drake too, because you know, him hopping on that track and doing something for the city like that is just, it's awesome. Like, it's some next level stuff. So that is what's on my mind, Daniel.
I do.
And how about you?
What's on my mind? I just gotta, I gotta add there though, like, I think Drake dropped on that just because he was tired of that, like, Kendrick song being played everywhere. It's like, we gotta just, like, switch this up.
Oh, yeah. He definitely kind of, like, you can tell that the Kendrick line where Kendrick's, like, you know, Kendrick did the Toronto man accent pretty cringy too, and he's like, why are you teasing, fam? Right? Like, he did that in this one line.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Drake, when he hopped on this, he made a lot, like, he starts his verse off with this part, and it's like, I actually have to pull up the lyrics because the Drake part I don't know as well as the Snow Day part. Again, the Snow Day parts have been kind of just played out on TikTok now for half a year, the better portion of half a year, so, like, they're kind of in my head, but let me pull up the lyrics. Wagwan Delilah lyrics. So Drake's part, yeah, he kind of, you can almost tell it's like a little bit of a play on even what Kendrick said when he was making fun of the Toronto man's accent.
Right.
So Drake's verse starts out with very Toronto. He's like, Wagwan Delilah, no, I'm late because there's bear traffic. I just showed my dog your gram. He said he knows a man that slapped it. I'm so cheesed. So, yeah, I think he was kind of like playing on the Kendrick beef a little there too, just a little bit. And then, you know, the most hilarious thing about all of this, and like, you know, this song coming out, is watching the Americans react to a song that is pretty much 100% like Toronto man's accent. So like they don't understand, right? Like, even there's one brilliant line Snow Day has where he's like, hold on, let me pull it up so I say it right. I don't want to ruin it. But what does he say? Hold on. He's like Tarzan, I'm always on the Jane.
Yeah.
Which would be, you know, like Jane Street, like on the Jane Strip.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, I was watching an American YouTuber, and he's like, this guy's like, he's like, oh man, that's a great line. Like, he's always on the Mary Jane. But no, it's not the Mary Jane. Like, it's not up on the reefer.
Yeah.
He's always on the Jane. But, like, man, again, like, just this song, as much of a joke as it is, there's some stuff in there that's really, like, really clever in terms of, like, you know, locally, and then just kind of, like, the way he makes some of these entendres, right?
Yeah.
Like, he says one line right before that, always on the Jane, and this part I love, too. He's like, my you don't be moving tough because I will call your Scarborough bluff. Like, you know what I mean? It's just so silly, but there's a genius to the madness of this song. And yeah, it's, again, as you can tell, it's really in my mind today because it's still fresh. And I look forward to watching more of these American YouTubers dissect the lyrics and try to understand what the hell is going on in this song.
That's right.
And like a lot of people too thought that the Drake part wasn't even real. They're like, is this AI? Is this AI?
Right.
But you know, it's very hard to train AI how to do a Toronto man's accent. That's like, right. I don't think anyone's really cracked that code yet.
Yeah. If once we do, that's like the singularity or like, what's it? Skynet is real. Once they get the,
Turns out Skynet is just a Toronto man.
Yeah, that's right. Oh my God. Okay, let me tell you quickly what's getting my goat, what I'm thinking about. But that was amazing. Yeah, by the way.
I love it. Again, shout out to Snow Day and shout out to Drake.
Yep. I'm just like, my thing right now is just voice messages. Like, I have a smartwatch, so like sometimes like you'll send a message to someone and then they send it back to you in a voice message. So I just get the notification. So I got to pull out my phone when I get the notification. I got to open up, like, for example, Instagram. I got to, like, check the person, go on to the voice message, stop what I'm doing, play it out. And then it's like, oh, hey. Or just like, yeah, sure. Like, I wasted all that time for you to just like send that voice message, like to listen to that.
Yep.
It seems just irritates me.
So right. Now I'm really curious and I'm kind of thinking in my mind, is my girlfriend pregnant? Because I'm about to make a dad joke, but
okay,
I was just going to say, Daniel,
yeah.
It sounds like your smartwatch is more of a dumb watch.
Woo! Damn.
Oh boy. There come the kids.
Yeah.
I can already feel my wallet getting lighter.
Got that premonition. Yeah.
Yep. That's right. Once you start making the dad jokes, it's time, man.
It's done.
To be fair, I've probably been making dad jokes and enjoying them since I was like 15, so whatever.
Exactly. I mean, dad jokes are a disrespected art, but like everyone loves them. So like I don't know why they got
absolutely
so much hate.
They're the best.
Indeed. And on that note,
do you have anything?
What?
On that note, I'll just ask you one thing before we end it. Do you have any dad jokes to share? Like any ones that are your favorites? I'm kind of putting you on the spot, so it's hard.
Yeah. There's one that's up in the office that I'm going to just steal here because I like. What kind of doctor was Dr. Pepper? Or is Dr. Pepper?
I don't think I've heard this one. I'm not sure. What was it?
He's a physician, as in like fizz. F-I-Z-Z.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's pretty good.
And I'm just Googling a couple dad jokes. I'm trying to find one. Oh, here's a good one for your audience as well. I'll give you guys one more dad joke before we end this off. What do you call an illegally parked frog?
You're going to have to tell me.
Toad.
Boom! Yes, I would put that. I should put the chain. I'm going to put it right there.
Yeah, exactly. We need it. Boom.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This has been great, and I'm going to talk to you soon. Why not? Because it's always a pleasure.
Yep. Yeah. Likewise, man. Likewise. I always do enjoy these conversations, and it kind of gives me a chance to get some of my thoughts out. You know, practice it's not really public speaking, but like just, you know, there's a difference between making a 10, 15 minute YouTube video, a 1 minute reel, or just going off the cuff and being asked questions and having to respond on the fly.
I
like this kind of stuff because it definitely adds like a bit of practice to me, right? Like practice for what I do, because in real estate, you know, when you're dealing with clientele, you always are kind of on your feet and on the fly. So you got to be quick-witted, sharp, and able to answer without making yourself sound dumb. And I'm sure there have been a couple times in this episode where maybe I sounded a little dumb to your audience, but that's okay. It is what it is.
Exactly.
We all have a little bit of, you know, dumb humor is also one of my favorite types of humor where you're like, you almost be dumb on purpose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
And 90% of it is just showing up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's like a little Toastmasters. That's what I like to think of it.
Yeah, that's a good way to think of it for sure. And I do enjoy again these podcasts.
All right,
I think at some point in the future, what I'll have to do. This is like I don't even know why I'm sharing this. I don't think your audience really cares.
Let's
but what
go,
I'll probably end up at some point when we do these like interviews, since we're doing them over the phone and not in person or on video yet.
Yeah.
I might even set up a camera in front of me, get a microphone connected to it,
yeah,
and just record these conversations so I can then take it and make reels or short form content. Yeah. It, right. Because like I was listening back to the last episode, man.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of points where, like, if I had better audio and I had myself recorded saying what I was saying, they would have made great reels or short-form TikToks or YouTube shorts, whatever, right?
Well, like, stay tuned, you know, man. And, stay tuned. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you going to be turning this into some, like, video podcasting?
Yeah, I'm, like, okay. Well, if you made it this far, you might as well listen.
These are your loyal audience.
Exactly, right? Yeah, exactly.
Let's give them a little sneak peek of the future. Why not?
Exactly. So, yeah, first of all, the first thing that I'm looking at doing is making, like, I'm going to make, because you know that every episode, AI, like a generated transcript comes out. So it's, like, pretty easy to find clips. It's just that right now it's all audio, as you know. So it's just a matter of finding compelling video to go with the clip so that I can make video reels that can go on TikTok, etc. So I'm in the process of figuring out exactly how I want that workflow to go. And then after that, my thinking was that once I feel that it's time, then I'll probably do like a second episode of a week in the week where it's more, it's like a video episode, and I'll have like stuff where it's like, I have video content that I want to share, because this one's more like, I can't really share any video content and I probably do that one live as well with some like recorded segments as well. So then I'd be able to clip that as well.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
But I think more than anything, just having, you know, as somebody who's been watching the social media TikTok thing for a few years, I think more than anything, having, you know, you and your guest in the same room just on camera.
Right.
That makes it very, very easy to cut up and make actual video clips and reels and shorts out of what you're saying, right?
And that's the thing. But that's why I still want to keep this format as well. Like, have two shows, one in this format and one in a like that more traditional like TikTok friendly format, just because like I don't want, like, if I want to have a show that's more casual that people can like, I just call them up and we talk and chill. That's like, I love that thing. People don't have to like get dressed up. People could like just,
This is true.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There you go, everybody.
Right?
Yeah,
exactly. There you go. I get what you mean, because, you're right. Like, you know, if you're going on video, you got to do the hair, you got to do the makeup if you're a girl.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Dress a little nicer. Yeah. So, I guess I do understand the aspect of, like, the casualness of doing it with just audio.
Right, exactly. But, that is, a major important thing for me. It just... I just want to build upon it, get this this version of the podcast as like smooth and like figured out as possible, and then we move on to the next one. I'm also looking for someone just to like work on like writing and like build out segments for me. So if anyone listening, you want to do that, you can hit up any of our social media, which I'm not really actively using, but I will be soon, and I will tell you that later. Yeah, what's up?
I got somebody to write for you.
Who's that?
Chat GPT.
Yeah.
There's your answer to your problem.
Yeah, Chat GPT.
AI.
Chat GPT is so underrated, though.
Just AI in general, man. Yeah. Like, it's crazy. The music that AI is putting out now, too, it's unreal. Like, you can literally make a prompt of, make me a country song about beer.
Yeah.
And the one AI app, which is called like Suno AI, will pretty much make you an entire country song all about drinking beer or whatever, driving your pickup truck.
Yeah. yeah,
or whatever country music friendly topic you can think of, right?
That's crazy.
And they're pretty good. If you want to splice in some AI music here into the episode, like, you know, take a pause here and then splice something in.
Yeah.
Feel free to reach out to me on Instagram or text later, and I'll send you a couple of clips of like some AI songs that I've made because they are ridiculously good.
Oh shit! You've made AI songs.
Yeah, I actually made one last night too, of going back to Drake and Snow Day, the whole Wagwan Delilah thing.
Yeah,
I made a 1950s swing version of that song, and it's pretty awesome. Like, it definitely got very much Frank Sinatra vibes to it, and it's really well done. And like, the fact that AI made everything, like the lyrics, the well, not the lyrics. The lyrics came from that song, duh.
Right.
But the fact that AI makes the instrumental, the vocals, and just basically produces a song for you, it's next level. Like a year ago, a year and a half ago, AI music was basically just like, you know, as if you were throwing in loops into a program like GarageBand or something like that.
Yeah.
Where now AI music is literally creating entire compositions with vocals, without vocals, whatever you want. It kind of just makes it. And the stuff that the AI is putting out is, it's unreal. Like, I can't believe my ears when I hear some of these songs that come from it. It's just, it's next level.
That's crazy. And what are you, what software are you using?
It's called Suno.
Okay.
S-U-N-O. It's a program. I believe it's paid. It's not too expensive, but you know, you give these guys a few bucks a month and they give you a whole bunch of credits where you can then, you know, I think 2 credits makes you a song, or no, I believe it's maybe 5 credits, but whatever. I pay like maybe 10, 20 bucks a month and they give me like 2,000 credits or whatever for the month.
Yeah,
And then I just spit my ridiculous ideas into the AI.
Yeah.
Actually, I guess I can kind of reveal my AI musical alias.
Let's go.
Here. A couple of my Instagram followers know about this, so you're not the exclusive, but not a lot of people know about this.
Okay.
So I've now put out a few things on like Spotify, Apple Music, and the AI artist name I chose was Lil Wayne, F-I-L.
Yeah,
prompt, because when you make AI, you're prompted. So it's just low prompt, and like, you know, I did so far not a whole lot. I'm looking back at it, like, it's just, again, it's like a passion project. It's not necessarily something I'm, you know, involving all my time into.
Right.
But I made one album, which is that genre of music that's called funk. P-H-O-N-K. It's very, like, you see it a lot on car TikTok and car YouTube shorts. It's kind of like
car funk. The honk.
Yeah, car funk.
Yeah,
funk,
that's right.
P-H-O-N-K, right?
Yeah.
And that album is, I believe, about 13 songs.
Yeah.
And the entire album was made within about 5 hours. Like, I was just hanging out with my girlfriend one day and we were kind of bored. And I'm like, you know what? While we're here doing nothing, let me just make an album. So I made that thing in like no time. Basically, from idea to release, it took not even a day to create 13 songs. And they're pretty damn good for AI.
Right.
And then my favorite is I have the second album coming, well, album, EP, whatever you want to call it. It's 6 songs, but it's called The Swinging Six. So it's also a play on this whole Toronto man's accent.
Right.
But it's in that 1950s swing music sound. And, you know, you have, you basically just, it's like kind of like memes and kind of music at the same time where, you know, this one definitely appeals to people in Toronto because there's a lot of like Toronto type language used in these songs.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, that's one album. And then one of my favorite songs I made is like a very Johnny Cash type song, and it's called I Crashed My Car in Brampton.
Like,
it's very good.
Does it have like harmonica on it?
I don't believe so. I think it's more so like kind of guitar-y and all that. But
yeah, like Django, like the the Django guitar. Like rockabilly. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like I don't even remember the lyrics of the song. I made the song and I can't even sing it for you. It's been a while since I made this one. Like this one probably came out like a month ago, so I haven't. Yeah, April 30th, 2024. I haven't really listened to it much, but. If you want to stitch in a little clip into the podcast here, right, now's your chance.
Okay, yeah, this guy is like producing my podcast live on the fly. Damn.
There we go. All right. Awesome.
Okay, yeah, I probably will. I'll probably stitch in a bunch of stuff.
If not, you can just, you know, your listeners can just find it on Apple Music or Spotify or whatever their streaming platform of choice.
Oh, damn, it's streaming?
Yeah, it's already on streaming.
Damn, all right, and
that's
yo.
Like, yeah, that's the other crazy thing is, like, you know, you use the AI to make these songs, and, like, the way I'm targeting this specifically in my mind is I'm going to use current events and memes to really grow these songs, right? So, like, the I Crashed My Car in Brampton song, it all started out because I just needed an audio for a video that I was making. So, like, I wanted something, you know. And anytime now I see a car crash video or whatever on Instagram or TikTok, if I want to post it in my story, well, then I post the video in my story, and then I just add the music and I type little prompt, I crashed my car in Brampton, and now I have my own song streaming in my own story, which is kind of cool, right? So, like, I also, like, when I really first started playing with it, I made a reel where, like, I did a UK rap kind of promotion of me as, like, as a realtor, as, you know, a real estate agent or whatever. Right. So there's many uses for it, you know, like, potentially, man, like, to be honest, you know, if anybody listening, like, if you have a little bit of creativity and you want to go through the work of signing up for, like, the Suno thing and... Don't forget to use my referral code, TomK416. No, I don't actually have it. It's not a thing. It's not a pyramid scheme, guys. Don't worry. This isn't OnlyFans. This is music AI. But, you know, if you're a creative person and you can make the, like, you know what I mean? Like,
the concept,
AI makes making music so easy that if you were to focus 1 hour a day, you could make potentially 2 to 3 songs in that hour. Okay, you use ChatGPT, use the Dolly thing, make a album cover for it, throw it up into one of these music distribution platforms like DistroKid or Lander that will release your music now to Spotify, Apple Music, TikTok, Instagram, all that. And all you really need is just one hit to go viral or just get enough like listens. You could potentially have a stream of royalties coming to you for the rest of your life, right? Because, like, you know, the moment that I've uploaded all this stuff to Apple Music and all that, I get paid out on it.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's
so
true.
So it's almost like it's a passion project and a bit of, like, a side hustle. So, like, I did a funny joke where I called one song on the, like, the car music album, the funk music to drift to album, I called it, stream this album 24/7 so I can buy a GT3 RS. Right? So if you guys, like, are listening, put that album on repeat. Let it on repeat. Let it go. Just give me those little 0.001 of a penny at a time and let me stack them up because they're all going into a savings fund for a nice car one day.
That's the next song I'm going to listen to after the Snow Day song or the next album.
Which one?
This one, the one fucking...
Oh.
Yeah.
The funk music?
Yeah.
Listen to the Swing 6.
Okay,
Swing 6 is probably the best one I've made, because that's, like, I put way more time and effort into that one. And again, it's kind of like, if you're listening to Snow Day, your natural progression is to go into a 1950s version of Toronto Man's music.
All right. Okay. I gotta leave it there, because I kind of have to pee. And also, like, I got another little podcast hit to do, so but we will be talking.
Yeah, exactly. It's been a long conversation.
Yeah,
I kind of want to end my day. It's a nice way to end the day, though, Daniel. I'll tell you that with this conversation. So you go have a nice pee. I plugged enough of my little passion project. I'll just bring it back and circle it back and plug the real estate stuff.
Okay, let's go.
Don't overpay. GetTom.ca. If you guys are in the Durham region of like the Greater Toronto area, anywhere near Oshawa, starting, I believe, on June 12th, I want to say. I think it's June 12th or 11th, whatever. You can find it somewhere on my Instagram. It'll be up there. But I've partnered up with Daniel Foch and Nick Hill of the Canadian Real Estate Investor Podcast.
Right.
And we're going to be doing real estate networking events for investors and, you know, people just involved in the real estate industry in Oshawa. So again, our first one is going to be later this month, next week, and we're going to be, again, just bringing together some people for a little bit of good old-fashioned networking.
And when is that?
Pardon?
What day specifically?
Let me find it. I'm terrible because this is my own event and I don't exactly know offhand. Oh boy, I feel so unprepared, but I
I will probably just edit that part and like use it as a promo.
Mm-hmm.
So I can put it on multiple episodes.
Okay. Durham Real Estate Meetup, June 12th, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and it's going to be at the Canadian Brew House, Simcoe Street, 2710 Simcoe Street North in Oshawa. It's basically Highway 7 or Winchester Road in Simcoe, right across from the Costco. There's that big like pub or bar right next to the Dollarama there. If you guys are in the area, come drop by. I'll be there hanging out. Daniel Foch of the Foch of the Canadian Real Estate Investor Podcast will be there, and it's going to be an awesome night, and we're just going to kind of hang out, talk real estate, and network. So if that's something that interests you, come out.
All right. There you go. There you have it, my man. Tom K, EXP Realty. He's got a little prompt as well. Keep that a little bit on the DL until it's ready to pop up. And we got like all sorts of things coming, all sorts of things popping. Thank you so much.
That's
all right.
Thank you, Daniel. You have a lovely rest of your evening. Go
thank
enjoy
you
that
so
peach.
Enjoy it so much, man. All right. Thank
I
you.
Bet.
Bye.
All right.